This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm T. Xiao Ik, and you're listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. In the studio with me, Sumitra Selvaraj and Lim Soo Ann. So we have two stories for you as always. What's up first, Sumitra?
Well, a new report has named banks from Indonesia and Malaysia as the largest creditors financing corporate organizations implicated in the 2019 fires that we all remember from the haze that ensued after that. So we're going to be talking about whether does cutting off financing to these corporate entities actually make an environmental impact. Fresh off the presses, actually, a report today by a group of international environmental NGOs has found that Malaysian banks are among the top financiers of corporate organizations that are being investigated for the forest fires that raged in parts of Indonesia earlier this year. Mm-hmm. The numbers, according to the report, are as follows. Malaysian banks have provided $2.3 billion in loans and underwriting between 2015 and August of this year to the 17 corporate groups implicated in the 2019 fires. That makes Malaysia the third largest source of finance by bank country of origin after China, which provided $5.8 billion, mm-hmm. and Indonesia with $4.5 billion. I think Singapore was somewhere on the list with about $1 billion as well.
Somewhere further down.
Yes, okay. Yes.
And the report also named Maybank as the second largest overall financier of the implicated companies, and by providing $1.12 billion in financing, while the CIMB Group provided almost $700 million. So this comes close to almost $2 billion of the $2.3 billion US dollars that Malaysian banks has provided, give or take a couple of $100 million.
So this report was prepared by the US-based Rainforest Action Network, the Netherlands-based Profundo, and Indonesian environmental NGOs, Tuk Indonesia, Jakalahari, and Wali. And in the report was a review of sustainable finance reforms in Indonesia, as well as how the financial sector should address legality and sustainability issues in the forestry and plantation industries.
Yeah, so the Indonesian government has estimated that the fires ravaged over 850,000 hectares of land and forest, and that's an area that's 10 times larger than Singapore. And because they believe that about 80% of the fires were deliberately lit to clear land for palm oil plantations, the Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry has issued stop work orders and sealed 83 company plantations. And if you remember news reports from around that time, those implicated, the companies implicated were not small rogue operators, but this included major company groups, which, and with listed entities on the Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Singapore Stock Exchanges.
Some rather familiar names there. So on one hand, you have the Indonesian government clamping down on the companies, right? And they're initiating investigations. That much is clear. But what the report that has been released today aims to do is to shed light on the fact that if you continue to finance the activities of the companies, they say that it becomes a zero-sum game. The report by the Rainforest Alliance Network and its partners alleges that the policies of major financiers or major banks here indicate that much of this finance is being doled out without credible checks on client legality or sustainability standards.
And banks do actually have sustainability standards today, that they standards that they can measure themselves against. In banking circles, this is referred to as the management of environmental, social and governance or ESG risk in credit decision making. So banks that are open about disclosing how they manage their ESG issues are going to be more attractive to ethical investors.
Always.
Because this reduces reputational and regulatory risk, and evidence shows that it also offers improved financial returns.
The question that I think that we need to keep coming back to is, you know, who is responsible for the forest fires? It's easy enough to do the finger pointing game between governments, financial institutions, even plantation companies, right? But at the end of the day, somebody has to be responsible. And I can imagine when I first read the report that getting to the bottom of this must be quite a bit of a task. So I reached out to Surin Suksawan, who is the Southeast Asia Regional Director of ProForest, to find out his thoughts on the report and its findings.
Well, I think it raised some valid points about how banks can be more responsible in their financing of plantation and forestry companies. But I think that some of the references they quoted may be may require more scrutiny, because you know, I did manage to check up on all the references they quoted, but I think that, you know, because there's a lot of confusion over hotspots and fires and so on, and what are the causes of the fires. So I think that there should be a more rigorous analysis of the available data.
Okay. So as it stands, would you happen to know what is the current impact of this year's forest fires to Indonesia's environment first? And then perhaps we can look at it to a larger extent to that of its neighbours as well.
Yeah, I mean, this year's impact is quite significant, although I've seen reports saying that it was not as severe as the previous kind of serious haze year, which was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the figures with regard to the actual impacts in terms of economic losses or loss of lives, but you know, I think it's safe to assume that it is a huge impact on the environment and also on the economy of the country.
And the impact wasn't just to the environment of Indonesia. Unfortunately, neighbouring countries also suffered in terms of air quality.
Yes, that's right. I mean, as you know, the smoke from the fires are carried by the winds. And depending on the wind directions, various neighbouring countries are impacted. So we, being very close to Indonesia, have also suffered quite considerably in terms of poor air quality. And of course, that has an impact on human health and well-being as well.
And of course, you know, we all want the best-case scenario here, right? We want more than anything for this not to recur next year. So let's look at the best case scenario then. If banks are able to tamp down on financing to fire-linked firms, will we actually see a positive environmental impact? And in your opinion, how long would it take for us to see that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because, first of all, I think we need to determine the link between the financing of these plantation activities and the fires. Mm-hmm. And while most studies will show that there is a link,
mm-hmm.
I think it is the share of fires originating from plantations that I think is in dispute.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because some reports will say something even as high as 80% of all fires are caused by oil palm plantations, and that was quoted by the report by RAND. But there are also other reports saying that actually, the majority of the fires are occurring outside of concession areas, either in land that is controlled by communities or even in government protected areas and forest reserves and so on. So it's not conclusive to say that the majority of the fires are caused by plantation companies.
Fair enough. Okay. So let's look moving forward then, sir, and final question. We don't want a repeat of 2015. We certainly don't want a repeat of this year. What needs to be done to make sure that we don't have those sort of uncontrolled fires causing haze?
Yeah, the issues are very complex. And I don't think that it can be solved in a single year. And you know, the issue of haze has been a major concern for the region as long as 20, 30 years ago. And so you need to understand what's the cause of the fires. And based on what we know, a lot of the fires are caused by people who want to clear the land, prepare for planting in a cheap way for their benefit, right? Because it costs a lot more money if you bring in machinery to clear land. It doesn't cost much to start a fire. All you need is some fuel and a match.
Sure.
A match stick, you know. So there are many land owners, land speculators, who are behind the fires. So, and these people, it's very difficult to determine who they are, actually.
Mm.
It could be people sitting in Jakarta, for example, but are investing in land in some of the more remote regions of Indonesia.
Interesting.
So how do you break that link? How do you get them to stop creating those fires? I think that's not an easy question to answer. And also, there are huge challenges in terms of putting out those fires once they have started, especially on peatlands where the fires may remain underground, you know, dormant and may reignite at any time. So these are real challenges in terms of putting out fires.
So that was Surin Suksoan, who's the Southeast Asia Regional Director, ProForest. Mm-hmm. And ProForest is an independent international organization with a mission to transform agriculture and forest commodity production. Surin ended with two very important challenges, right, to resolving this issue of the forest fires. And I think I was being a little bit unfair when I asked him, what can we do to kind of make sure that it doesn't happen next year?
Mm-hmm.
It cannot.
Yeah, that's too short a time frame to start with.
You know,
yeah.
as he very, very clearly and very, very politely pointed out, this has been something that has been smoldering for 20, 30 years, two, three decades. We've been grappling with this idea of trying to pin down, A, who is responsible, but B, really, how do you beat fires that smolder underground and that may reignite without warning? Because that's what the nature of peat fires is.
Yeah, so the actual logistical challenge of putting out those fires, but also, I guess, that bigger, much bigger step back in looking at who is responsible. And as Surin mentions, it's not easy to pinpoint who is responsible. There's not one player or one industry that you can say is at fault. Investigations are very complex, certainly not something that can be conducted at the drop of a hat. And I think the report that we are citing today is only one small piece of a very, very complicated puzzle.
Absolutely.
And in fact, earlier this year, an international research organization had to take down one of their online reports that suggested that fires destroyed more than 40% of the Indonesian government's own estimates.
Mm. Yeah, and the report wasn't taken down due to only an outcry. So the Center for International Forestry Research that published the report itself, they admitted that they had relied on satellite data, which hasn't been confirmed with ground observations. So given Indonesia's vast land area, there is going to be no choice but to utilize technology in the form of remote sensing data. But because there is just going to be so much to cover by foot if you want to corroborate that data with on-ground observations.
I am glad that there are reports coming out. I think it's important to have an indication of what's happening on the ground. But as you very rightly pointed out, it's only a tiny drop in what is going to be an ocean of research.
But, you know, whenever we ask for more transparency and knowledge, is a big part of transparent action.
So we're definitely going to be keeping an eye on the story, right? Because I think it's already heartening to see that there has been concrete moves, especially by the Indonesian government, when it came to sealing off plantations and issuing stop work orders. So we now want to see what next steps are for them to bring it to task. I do not want to live with this idea that the haze becomes one of our seasons that we have to look forward to on a yearly basis, along with the monsoon season and the dry season and the haze season. This is just not a world I want to live in.
And that's all the time, unfortunately, we have for this story. But as you said, we are keeping an eye on developments. If you have any thoughts, tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll go for a quick break. But first, here's Bob Dylan with All Along the Watchtower, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.